stand with us this morning. Can you hear me now? All right, you can hear me now. All right, Mark chapter number 11. And we want to continue some of the thought that we begun on last Sunday. And this portion, text of Scripture, it has really kind of grown on us. I intended on preaching all of this last Sunday morning, and then it turned into we'll preach it all day last Sunday, and then it's just really turned into three services now as we want to try to finish this section up. And I think we'll probably be back in Mark 11 tonight in the verses that follow. And you don't want to miss tonight's message. I'll go ahead and tell you what I'm preaching on tonight. If the Lord don't direct otherwise, as far as I know right now, I want to preach tonight on the authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The authority of Jesus Christ. And that's in the last several verses there of Mark 11. Let's read our verses again. I think we're in, I was sharing with somebody not long ago. I've actually got a record of this, keeping track of what we preached through Mark. If I'm not mistaken, this is message 78 out of the Gospel of Mark, 78. Now, that don't mean it's good or bad. It's been a good study. It may mean it's just we're missing the forest for the trees. But I have enjoyed my study through just following as the Spirit of the Lord led Mark to write, following the steps of our Savior and watching by faith through the Scripture what He did and listening to what He taught. And we're in one of them sections now. Mark doesn't deal a whole lot with what the Lord taught, what the Lord said. He deals mainly with what the Lord did. But whenever Mark feels impressed the Spirit of God to deal with something the Lord taught, then that's very, very important in as far as the study of Mark is concerned. And so let's begin our reading again in verse number 20. The Bible said, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them," here's what we began to preach on last week, "have faith in God." You're going to have faith in God. You want to see this miracle and other miracles done in your life, you got things that are going to take place in your Christian journey that it is going to demand that you have faith in God to be able to navigate through that. And so he'll say in verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Verse 25 and verse 26 is where we want to pick up and preach from today. Jesus says in the same context, in the same conversation, "When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." I want to continue our thought, if the Lord will be our helper, on that, those words, his statement, the answer that Jesus gives. He's called to admire the fig tree and the withering of it and that miracle as the disciples look on. And just simply continue the thought today on have faith in God. You can be seated this morning. This text obviously is connected with the events of that fruitless fig tree that Christ had cursed, as a picture of the fruitless religion of the nation of Israel in his day. And really it was prophetical in a lot of ways. It was prophesying the judgment of God that was going to come against the nation of Israel. As the disciples now, a little over 24 hours now later, pass by, There are some things that stand out in this text. It get us to the Lord being able to sit his disciples down and teach them about this matter of having faith in God. We talked about or noted last week the manifestation of the miracle as they saw the fig tree. These disciples were perceptive about what had happened, and they knew that Christ had done something supernatural in their life. And we talked about the Lord doing supernatural things, miraculous things in our life. I'm glad that we still serve a God who is able to do what only he can do. We would call it the divine, the sovereign, the supernatural, but there are things that go beyond what we can do in and of ourselves, and the glory and the credit go to God for what he does. We talked about the marvel for this miracle as Peter says to the Lord, "Behold," implying a surprise, an exclamation, calling attention to what is seen or has been known. And so there is a marvel, at least in Peter, if not all the disciples, they are still excited about seeing the Lord do anything. These same men have seen blinded eyes open. They've seen the deaf be able to hear. They've seen the dumb be able to speak. They've watched literally the dead raised from the graveyard. And these men have seen what we would call big miracles in light of the simple cursing of the fig tree. And yet, even in the so-called mundane or the small matters, there's still an astonishment and an amazement in their heart that the Lord has done anything, that the Lord would do any miracle in their presence. And we challenged ourselves on last week about not losing the marvel of what we see the Lord do all around us and all throughout our life. The big things, those are easy to see and easy to to pay attention to and to get excited about. But having a marvel even over the simplest things, the simplest prayers that the Lord would answer, they ought to come with a marvel in our life. And then we talk about really getting us to the thought, the message in the miracle in verse 22, the Lord's response is simply this: have faith in God. Christ uses this emblem of judgment. He uses this cursed fig tree and the curiosity in the hearts of the disciples as a means in which he is going to teach the importance of having faith in God. Brother Mike, it appears from the Lord's answer that behind this statement that Peter has made and the excitement that is in the disciples, that really there's an inquiry here beyond the fig tree. And the inquiry is simply this: how can these things happen? How can we see more of this? How can we see the Lord do more miracles? And how can we see the Lord do supernatural things in our life in days to come? And the Lord just simply said, here's what you're going to have if you're going to see this in days to come. Have faith in God. And so in preaching that simple message, have faith in God, the teaching that follows is directly connected to that of prayer. And the Lord is going to drive home subjects of prayer and our relationship to God in prayer. One writer spake of this passage of Scripture and faith and prayer and having faith in God and talking to God and requesting of God. He spake of it in terms of a historical connection, that what has provoked this whole thing is what has happened on yesterday. Things that Jesus did yesterday, now connect them into today to have faith in God so that they can see God move again. And we think about the Word of God. What is it? If it's anything, and it's a lot of things, but one of the things the Word of God is, it is a historical record of the things that our God has done and is able to do today. And we ought to have a connection with God in faith and prayer that is of a historical connection, a theological connection. Have faith in God. Understand, we're not talking about Buddha or Joseph Smith or man-made religion. Our faith is not in creeds and dogmas and the opinions that we have or others have. But our faith is in the person of God. and the power of God, and in His sovereignty, and in His will, and in His plan, and in His ability to do whatsoever things He desires to do. It has a practical connection. And again, that is simply in the fact that we are to be praying. It has a moral connection, which is what we'll really dive in today. Where the Lord not only deals with seeing things on the outside, but the moral connection to you and I being right not only before God, but being right in our hearts before others. And He deals with the moral aspect and connection that we have toward God through forgiveness. And so I'll get there in just a moment. Bear with me. We looked at have faith in God. And we want to make it practical to our life. And so we look in the verses. And we said last week and last Sunday morning, have faith in God. I won't re-preach it all. Amen. But have faith in God for the obstacles you need removed. The Lord immediately says there's going to be mountains that are in your way. There in Jerusalem, there's mountain hillsides in every direction you look. And the Lord simply says, you want to see miracles. You want to see fig trees dried up. Let me tell you something, you can see more than that. You can see mountains moved in your life. And so the mountains speak of obstacles. The fact that they would be removed speaks of to lift up and to take away. He said, not only can they be, can we pronounce, be thou removed by faith in God, but that we can literally cast them into the sea. And this is where the Word of God really brings all of this together. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, and we are to cast all our care upon the Lord, for He cares for us. Psalm 55:22, the psalmist said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And so this matter of casting, cast thy bread upon the water, over and over in the Word of God, the child of God is encouraged to take the obstacles and burdens and matters that stand before us, things we cannot get over, things we cannot get around. And the old songwriter said, got any mountains you can't tunnel through? And there are days in our Christian life has obstacles that we can't do anything about, other than have mountain-moving faith and a God who said you can move the mountain. Amen. We don't move it through our own might. We don't move it through our own power. We don't move it through the years of our testimony of being saved. We simply move it through the mountain-moving faith that we have in God. And so quickly, I'll just run through it. We sing the minister of mountain-moving faith. That is, God is the one who gives the faith, and it's God who does the moving of the mountain. A messenger of mountain-moving faith, I say unto you, this is Jesus. And by the way, it ain't the first time He talked about moving the mountains in your life. Amen. We talked about the members of mountain-moving faith. Whosoever, anybody who is a member of Jesus' family and can exercise mountain-moving faith. It ain't just for the pastor and the evangelist and the deacons and the elders and those that have been saved a really, 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 really long time. This is for every child of God. They can have mountain-moving faith, a measure of mountain-moving faith. You would think that such a large mountain, such a large obstacle being moved, and it would take a large amount of faith. And in the parallel text that Jesus taught, He simply said, and if you have faith the size of a measure of a grain of a mustard seed, and you could say to this mountain, it doesn't take large faith to move large mountains. It simply takes small faith in a big God that made the mountains and owns the mountains and can move the mountains again. to see mountain moving faith active in our life. A maintenance of mountain moving faith shall not doubt in his heart. That's your responsibility to maintain a heart that is free of doubt. Do not allow doubt and things that cause doubt to creep up. A manifestation of mountain moving faith. He said, if you'll believe that though that if you'll believe and shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. And so the manifestation of mountain moving faith, we said and preached last week, is that that kind of faith sees it before you can see it. Amen. It lays hold on it before it can be held. That is the manifestation of mountain moving faith, a magnitude. Amen. He said, whatsoever he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so whosoever can have whatsoever. And the parallel text of this in Matthew 17. Here's what Jesus said about the whatsoever. He said, nothing shall be impossible. What a magnitude of mountain moving faith. There's nothing you can't. You cannot see removed, and no obstacle that can hinder you and stop you and keep you eternally discouraged this morning. If you'll have faith in God, that magnitude of mountain moving faith, my friend, it makes the impossible possible. It makes things that you cannot find a way through. My friend, mountain moving faith is a magnitude that allows anything to be lifted, anything to be removed, everything and whatsoever to be cast upon the God who is able, amen, to sustain you in your journey. And then we ended on the magnifying of mountain moving faith. And then when all is said and done and mountains are moved, it is not so you can run around and brag about the mountains you moved. Oh, so the fact of the matter is, you didn't move any mountain. You just put faith in a God. Amen. Who moved the mountain for you, and to God be the glory. Amen. For every obstacle that because we put a little faith in a big God, and God moved it out of our way. Amen. You're going to have faith in God. Listen, in these days we're living, I don't mean to bog down here again. I just get excited about thinking about this. And then if you're going to make it in your Christian life, you got to have faith in God, because there's going to be obstacles you need removed. The objects you need removed. And then last Sunday night, we talked about not only the obstacles you need removed, but verse 24, Jesus said, have faith in God. Why? I believe we can draw from verse 24, have faith in God for the objects you need received. There's going to be things you have need of. There's going to be things that you need God to not only remove from your path and your travels and where you are, you're going to have times you need God to bestow upon you something you need to make it. Amen. Objects you need received involves desire. I won't re-preach any of this. It involves declaration. When you pray, you got to ask God. You got to request it from Him. It involves devotion when you pray. This deals with a life and the lips of worship. It involves dependence. Believe that ye receive them. And so have faith in God. Have faith in God for the obstacles you need removed. And have faith in God for the objects that you need received. Now this morning, I want to deal with, quickly as I can, I got a lot of material, a lot of ways the Lord has just squeezed this into my heart. And I want to, Brother Addy, squeeze it out on you this morning, if the Lord will help us. I want to deal with this morning, have faith in God for the offenses you need released. For the offenses that you need released. The fact of the matter is this morning that Jesus deals with things that stand in our way. There are things that are on the outside, and he even deals with that to a degree when he talks about the things you desire, that is, desiring the will of God and requesting of God the things that you know you have need of that are in the will of God to sustain you in your journey. That you need things dealt with outwardly and things received from upward. But now the Lord brings us into introspection. He brings us to the inward aspect of this thing of having faith in God. You see, it's not just mountains that stand in our way. It's not just the things that we need to make it, and we need the Lord to freely bestow upon us. But Christ says that when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Now the Lord would speak of this matter of having aught. He would speak of it in other terms, Sissy, that he would talk about if one would bring offenses against you. And then he would speak in even more dogmatic terms, maybe in our mind more serious terms, that he said if any would sin against you. And the Lord would deal with those things of awe and offense and being sinned against in your life. That is the treatment of others against your life. And the Lord really is driving and dealing and putting his finger upon this in the heart of a child of God when he says, when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. The word ought, will you consider, will y'all humor me a minute this morning? Let me teach you something. The word ought means something owed. Something owed, that there is somebody that has sinned against you. There is somebody that has done something against you, and now there is something they owe you. We would say they owe me an apology. They owe me a conversation. And the Lord said, now this thing is not just a matter of what somebody has done to you, but now it has become something in your heart that is festered to the degree that it is now labeled an ought that you have against them. Amen. It means to be indebted to. And so the idea is simply this. The Lord said, if there is somebody that you are holding a debt against. I know it's going to get quiet. That's all right. The Lord said, you got to have faith in God to move mountains. There's obstacles you're going to need to remove. You're going to have faith in God. There are objects you're going to need to receive. And it's going to take faith in God. Woo, hallelujah. We serve a mountain-moving God. We have mountain-moving faith. And see, God bring the mountains out of our life. Wonderful, preacher. Preacher, you mean to tell me that I can simply live my life having faith in God, that God will send down those things I have need of, and that I can receive the objects of faith and the objects of spirituality and grace and mercy and peace and joy, and the Lord will freely bestow that on me just by simply having faith in God? Wonderful. Everybody shouts on them till the Lord makes us have to look on the inside and say, you're going to have the same faith that moves mountains and the same faith that gets God to bestow and let you receive what you need to make it from day to day. You got to have the same faith in God, amen, for those offenses that you need to release out of your life. Amen. Amen. I knew it'd be quiet. I didn't think he'd get this quiet, but that's okay. The word ought speaks of matters of offense. It speaks of matters of offense, listen, that we now have toward the actions of others against us. When the Lord said you have an ought, the idea is simply this, that it's an offense, it's a festering, it's a growing debt that is just bubbling up and piling up, and interest is being tacked on it. And now there's late payments and late fees. It's all getting added to this thing, and it's growing and it's growing and it's growing to the point that Jesus said, now you are taking an offense that somebody has done towards you, and now you're allowing that thing to become an issue in your life. And I want to say this morning, that Jesus was very clear when he spake, and he spake on offenses a lot. Yes, sir. Amen. Here's what Jesus said. He said, offenses shall come in this world. That you can mark it down. If you're going to live your life, I don't care if you're saved or lost, if you're going to live your life, you might as well anchor into this truth today. Somewhere along the way, somebody's going to do something wrong to you. Somebody's going to mistreat you. Somebody ain't going to speak to you when they should have spoke to you. Somebody's going to speak something to you they shouldn't have spoke to you. And Jesus said, amen, it is impossible but that offenses are going to come. You're going to have to learn how to deal with it. You're going to have to get a hold of what Jesus is teaching, especially as a child of God. I understand the world, amen, pulling guns on each other and won't shake each other's hand and run each other down and backbite it. And my friend, live in bitterness. I understand why the world would do that. Jesus said, if you're one of my children, if you're one of my disciples, there ain't no room for that in your life. You've got to have, listen, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus is saying the inward must be dealt with. And that ought must be dealt with. Whether or not it is ever dealt with from the other side, you have to have faith in God to deal with that in your own heart. Amen. Ought. Offense. Debts piling up. Jesus said that offenses are going to come. And then he said, but woe unto him by which they come. In other words, offenses are a part of life. But the child of God must try to live our life not being offensive on purpose. And let's be honest about it. Amen. We all get offended. And sooner or later we live long enough whereby we are the root cause of some offense in somebody else's life. It's just a part of life. Amen. And we'll deal with that. And I'll show you all of that in the text this morning. Amen. That this is something we all deal with on both sides of the coin, both sides of the issue. And if you don't learn how to deal with it and you don't learn how to, amen, follow Christ's instruction, and my friend, you're going to live a bitter life and nobody's going to want to be around you and nobody's going to enjoy watching you walk in the door, and you'll become an anvil around everybody's neck if you don't learn how to deal with the oughts that come into your life. Amen, amen, Pastor. Amen. I told y'all when Miss Kate ain't here, I get mean. I feel a mean streak growing. Amen. This word ought or offense, can I remind you what Proverbs 18:19 said? Do y'all know what that said? A brother offended, it's hard to be won. In other words, Solomon, let me read the verse because it's a powerful verse while we're studying this subject. Proverbs 18, I want to get it right. Proverbs 18, verse number 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. In other words, you'd be better off. You'd be better off to try to go against, amen, some bulwark or fortress, a fortified city that has walls and soldiers and ammunition. That it would be easier. Solomon has it in mind that it would be harder to win back a brother or a sister that has become offended over something in their life. Amen. Why? Notice what he goes on to say. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. How do contentions come? Bible's pretty clear about it. There's only one way by which offenses come. Contentions come. Talk back to me now. Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Now here's what I want you to understand this morning. Amen. Whoever you're thinking about, and there's even an ounce of contention between you and them,
And friend, it is the evidence of pride in your heart. If there's not peace, if there's not freedom, if there is contention and awe and offense and the holding of debts and the expectation of apology, and they got to do A, B, and C, and X, Y, and Z before I ever get over this. And friend, your issue is pride. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. This thing of alt, Jesus, listen, it's not a small thing. Jesus is diving straight to the core, amen, of the depraved fleshly nature that even abides in the heart of a child of God. It's still there. And my point is simply this. Amen. We talk a lot about this thing of contention, but according to Proverbs 18:19, Brother Mark, we've got to acknowledge this. That to deal with an offense is a very difficult thing. It's hard. Amen. Well, I can tell y'all enjoying this. It's difficult. Some of you, you act like you don't ever have any offenses or aughts, and everybody in the building knows better, but you want to act super spiritual. You've got to acknowledge the fact these things are going to come. And that when they come, there is a difficulty associated with it. Amen. It's hard to get over some things. Amen. That's right. That's why Jesus said, you've got to have faith in God. You got to talk to God about it. If it's going to be released, if the debt is going to be released, it's going to take faith in God. Amen. Well, I thought I'd be about 20 minutes, but I feel it coming on. Have faith in God for the offenses that need to be released. Have you got any debts that have been piling up? It's amazing. You see this principle in the Old Testament, even under the law, that there were years that the Lord set up under law known as the years of Jubilee. And they were the years whereby every 7 years they were commanded under the law, all the debts that have been piled up, you just got to write them off. Just write them off. Amen. You can't continue to hold it against those that owe you something. Amen. Even under the law, there was a 7 year period upon which at the end, God said, you got to write it off and forgive them of what they owe you. We're in the age of grace, and these people holding on to things 7 years, 10 years, 27 years, they've got their little book with all the offenses that has ever been done. And if they ain't got a book, they know it in their heart and they know it in their mind. Amen, because when you get around them, it all comes out. Amen, because they're holding on to those debts they think somebody owes them. Jesus said that is an ought. And an ought is something, yes, it may be difficult, but that's why you need to learn to have faith in God, even for those things, not just the outward things, not just the upward things, but the inward things that are going on inside of you. There are things that it's going to take faith in God to let go of out of your life. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, Pastor. Thank you for preaching to us today. Let me show you a few things here this morning. Amen. I got to hurry. Notice with me, number one, when we think about having faith in God for the offenses you need to release, notice with me that Jesus drives home, I want to call it this morning, the perception of the offense. The perception of the offense. That the Lord wants you and I to perceive, to know, and to lay hold on, to acknowledge the oughts that we have in our heart. Amen. The Lord doesn't want us to ignore the issues. He wants us to perceive and acknowledge the issues. Amen. What I'm preaching today is the exact opposite of well, I'm just going to ignore it. Everybody look here. You're not doing a good job. Nobody can just ignore it. Is that right? So it's got to be acknowledged. Ignoring it is not even possible. Jesus, when he deals with this subject of having faith in God, he notice what he said. Oh, I got to give this to you. And when ye stand praying. And somebody said, well, that he's talking about the posture, the physical posture of prayer. And while there may be an element to that, it is far deeper and far greater than that. Because you can pray standing, you can pray sitting, you can pray kneeling. There are people that pray prostrate. There are, my friend, people that prayed in all sorts of different positions and environments and physical ways that men would pray. Sometimes they would pray walking, and there'd be times maybe they'd pray running and pray in their chariots and pray while they're swinging a sword. And there's a lot of aspects to the physical way that people can pray. Standing is not the only way a man can pray. What is the idea? The word stand, it can mean to do what I'm doing now, amen, to be in an upright position. But the word stand in the scripture also has, in that old English vernacular, and meaning that in standing you are persevering. I can illustrate it in Ephesians chapter number 6, where we are called to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we're to stand. That doesn't mean physically you can't ever sit down, you can't ever lay down and go to sleep. Oh, he's talking about a spiritual perseverance, whereby, my friend, you stand and you're fighting and you keep fighting and you stay in the battle and you never sit down, you never drop out, you never go the sideline. So when Jesus said, when you stand praying, think about it. It's not so much about the physical posture of prayer as it is the spiritual perseverance in prayer. This is a real, true, biblical prayer life. And that's what every disciple ought to have in this building today. And if you don't pray, then it's evidence, as we said last week, that you really don't have faith in God. And if you pray and have a real, steadfast, persevering prayer life, here's what Jesus said: in that prayer life, you will discover the oughts that are in your heart. Well, I thought prayer was about me getting from God what I wanted. Oh, you have missed the boat. You cannot listen. I didn't say you couldn't say prayers, but you cannot truly and in reality pray in a biblical, persevering manner without God exposing you to what's going on in your heart. When's the last time you prayed and God said, that right there? That ought right there. That person right there that you can't hardly even speak to. That person right there that you've been letting it fester, letting it grow, and the Lord lets you discover what you tried to ignore, what you said, everybody else wasn't there. God knows about it. God knows about it. And he said, when you stand praying, and the idea is, oh, I hope I'm getting it across from the tip, is that these offenses, they are discovered in prayer with God. You can't get over it till it's perceived and acknowledged, and you cannot perceive and acknowledge it without having faith in God that he cares enough about you to not let it stay there. Amen. How we doing? Perception of the offense. Stand praying. And so it is real biblical prayer. This is real biblical prayer. Stand in prayer. Stand in praying. the Lord deals with this perception, this discovery. Let me show you some things here, amen, that you will perceive about the ought and the offense that's burning your soul to the ground. Number one, here's what prayer does. Prayer lets us know the possibility of offenses. If you stand praying, he says forgive. I'll get to that in a minute. Oh, y'all going to love that one. Amen. You're going to love that part of the message. Forgive. Bleh. But here's what he said. If you have ought. I want to tell you this morning that it is through prayer. Let me word it this way if I can. We don't have to have them. We don't have to have oughts. We don't have to have offenses. Jesus said if, but he is dealing with the possibility is that it is there. And that spiritual praying opens us, listen, to letting the Lord deal with us about them. See, the problem, amen, I've got to guard my own heart and life from this, but the problem I see trying to pastor people that have these things that don't want to admit they have them is that they want to portray themselves as so spiritual that an offense and ought me doing somebody wrong that wronged me, I would never do that. Jesus said, yeah, you could. Yes, you could. Well, preach, you don't know what somebody did to me. And I hear some people, amen, they act like Brother Larry, they just walk around and they love everybody and they just all, and I sit back and I watch them sometimes, I'm like, it is evident they have something going on in their heart. You call them out on it, you ask them about it, no, everything's fine. I ain't got no problem. And even in the tone they use, it is evident there is the possibility that there is something there. Oh boy, we're preaching today. He says you need to, through prayer, perceive the possibility that something that there is something there. And maybe you don't even know it, but God does. And others do. And it's your responsibility to get to God and say, Here it is. Y'all ready for this? It's what David prayed. Brother Mike, it's what David prayed. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Well, I don't wear breeches. I'm a woman. I don't wear breeches. That ain't what David's talking about. David's saying, Lord, you get down in the heart. Know if there's anything in the heart that ain't showing up in my clothes and it ain't showing up in what I'm watching on the TV and the internet. Lord, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in there. You listen, David in prayer, amen, he was trying to perceive even the possibility that something was there that either he didn't know or did not want to acknowledge and admit was going on in his heart. Amen. Amen. And so when we pray, what did Jesus, I can prove this to you. This ain't just in this text. When them disciples in Luke 11, Brother Larry, came to the Lord and said, teach us to pray. How John, the way John taught his disciples to pray, Jesus said, well, when you pray, say. Here is your pattern for how you are to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. He goes down, give us this day by day, our daily bread. Watch it. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who are indebted to us. If your prayer life does not involve you opening your heart to the possibility there's things going on inside of you you do not know or you do not want to acknowledge, you are wasting your time praying. Well, I'll tell you, we're like the sons of thunder. Lord, let us pray and call fire down on those who have upset us and your ministry. Oh no, would be better. And Jesus even told him, you don't even know the spirit that you're of. It'd be better for us to pray introspectively and say, Lord, if there's anything, if there's any wicked way, if there's an ought, if there's a debt, if there's an offense, if there's bitterness, if there's unforgiveness, if there's a quarrel, Lord, show it to me. The perception of the possibility of an offense. Oh, buckle down, it gets worse. I told y'all Miss Kate ain't here, it's bad. Prayer lets us not only know the possibility, quickly, prayer lets us know the possession of offenses. Notice what he said. He said, when you stand praying, forgive if ye have. That statement, ye have, Brother Bryce said, it has the idea that you're holding on to something. You have it. It's in your possession. You have possessed an offense, and you won't let it go, and you don't want to lay it down. And you've got all these expectations and all these rules and all these matters for everybody else that you yourself don't even live by. That's what he said. That's what he said. You're mad because somebody offended you. Now you possess in your own hand, your own bosom, and your own heart a violation of what you're holding everybody else to. Oh, somebody help me preach. I'm telling you, Brother Charlie, I don't want to possess those things that are difficult to get over. I know they're hard. I know they're easy to hold on to. They're hard to let go of. If you ain't careful, Jesus said, you can possess something that no child of God should ever possess. Ephesians chapter number 4. Brother Tim, you come through Ephesians again this morning. Was it not Ephesians chapter number 4 that said that we're to lay aside all bitterness and malice and evil speaking and clamor? What is he saying? He's saying there's some things you as a child of God ought not be in possession of. Prayer will reveal what you've been holding on to. Oh boy. Y'all ready? Reach over there, grab your seatbelt, cinch it down real tight because it's about to get tough. Notice with me in the text, I call it the perniciousness of the offense is perceived in prayer. Prayer lets you know the perniciousness of the offenses. Notice what he said. He said, if ye have aught against any. That word against, it's a powerful word. Let me illustrate it again with our spiritual warfare, that we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Y'all know the word against. When you're against something, that means you have set somebody on one side. Amen. On another team, and you're playing on the other team. Amen. Against speaks of, it speaks of, oh boy, it speaks of, I now have come into the realm where I'm no longer treating this person as a brother or as a sister. I treat them as a heretic. I treat them as an apostate. I treat them like the egg-sucking, lower-in-a-snake's-belly individual that I think they are. Amen. Now do everything I can to work, watch it, against them. Yes, we're supposed to, in the family of God, be for each other. Right. Amen. Amen. I'd hate to think I was so shallow in my spirituality that, my friend, I turned on the family of God and I turned on those that, my friend, we're in the battle together. We're fighting against the devil together and the world together. Amen. We're to be on the same side. Amen. and start treating people who's in the family of God as though we're against them, you've lost your ever-loving mind, friend.
Amen.
Again, speaks of doing injury to somebody. Amen. Injury. This word I've used, I think it's so fitting because it fits with against any. Amen. If there's any that we have, amen, ought against. You know what prayer does? It lets us know and perceive how injurious, mischievous, and destructive we have been to them because of the ought. You know what happens when you're really truly standing in prayer and you have things in there you either didn't know or you didn't want to acknowledge? Here's what the Lord does. Betty, here's what the Lord does. Hold on. You remember what you said over there about that person to that other person to get them against this person that you're against? You remember how you injured that individual's name in the eyes of others who had no problem, that had thought they were wonderful, and they had not offended them, but you came along and you opened your big mouth and you allowed the ought to come out, and now there is a perniciousness. You have injured them in the eyes of others. Come on. I know it's tough. Dear God, help us get a hold of it. Amen. Oh, I don't want to be that one that has such an oath that goes around injuring other God's children.
Amen.
If we had the spirituality we thought we would, we'd go sit down and have a conversation and get over it rather than spread the offense that we have because somebody did something to us that upset us.
Amen.
There is a discovery and perception, amen, of how injurious, how mischievous. You take somebody gets offended, it's amazing how mischievous they can act around the church family. Amen. I've watched you. I didn't just start pastor. I didn't fall off the pumpkin wagon out there this morning and y'all just throw me up here. I know what I'm preaching about.
Amen.
I've watched the mischievous, immature behavior when people let an ought creep up in their life. And it don't make you a bad person. It just means you need to get in line with the Word of God.
Amen.
Injurious, mischievous, destructive. You let somebody get an ought in their heart that they won't deal with and have faith in God enough to release it and let it go, they will destroy a church. They'll destroy friendships. They'll destroy their own family.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I guess it's prayer time. Everybody's heads are bowed. When's the last time you prayed and God said, that right there, we're not moving no more mountains. We're not sending down any more good things on your life till we deal with that right there.
Amen.
Prayer gets us into the realm where we come before God and lay down our pride and say, Lord, I need miracles. I need mountains moved. I need objects received. Lord, I've been wounded, I've been hurt, and I'm having a hard time getting over it. I'm coming to you with faith in you that you'll help me. Lord, just let me perceive how big and deep this issue really is.
Amen.
Amen. Well, y'all like that one so much, I'm going to give you number two. Say, that's only number one, it's only number one. Y'all ready? Notice the prescription for offenses. Y'all ready for it? It's real simple. Won't take me long. Jesus gave it in one word. But Brother Lucas, what is the prescription when you have an ought and somebody is offended or sinned against you, done something that's just got in, amen, they call it a burr in your bonnet for the women.
and a briar in your saddle if you're a man. But you just having a hard time getting over. Here's the prescription Jesus gave. Forgive. Right. Have faith in God that you can forgive it. And let it go. It takes a spiritual-minded brother and sister in the family of God to follow such prescription. Remember, the word old implies a debt, an indebtedness, a holding over somebody's head, a growing of interest, a growing of late payments, a growing of expectation. It goes on and on and on, in which it gets, listen, Tim's in the finance industry. There's some people, they can become so behind they can never pay their debt off. Can never pay it off. And if we're not careful, we'll become that creditor. I understand finance and all that that Tim's in. You sign your name, you ought to pay your debt, no matter what Joe Biden and all them Democrats say. But we ain't talking about school bills and car payments and signing your name. We talk about the spiritual realm. You and I have no right to be the creditor over another child of God's life. Amen. You're not God's spiritual debt collection agent. Amen. Amen. How we doing? Forgive then means literally to let go of a debt. To let it go. Pastor, that's hard. You don't know. You don't know how I feel. You don't know what they've done. You don't know. I've been trying this and trying that. I know. I understand. I know it's hard. That's why Jesus said it can only be done through faith in God. The reference slips my mind. I thought about this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, I believe it's in his second letter, and here's what he said. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, Brother Mike can get me this verse, or Tim can, soon as service is over. But Paul said, who you forgave, I forgave. And if there's anyone that needed forgiveness, I gave them that forgiveness, and I forgave them, and I forgave you. Paul, how do you do that? Here's what he said. In Christ Jesus. It's the only way you can do it. It's the only form of prescription for you and I to get beyond it. And I'm not talking about for a day. I'm not talking about to make it through a meal. I'm not talking about making it for a couple hours in somebody's presence. I'm talking about to lay it down and release it and never walk in it again and never feel the sting of it again. It's that you've got to learn how to forgive in Christ Jesus. Amen. You got to have faith in God. Jesus can help you do what you don't want to do. You got to have faith in Jesus that He will work in you what you do not have the ability to do in yourself. There is, my friend, the prescription, and it is simply to walk in forgiveness. I think there's probably an application here in the word forgive, that if you have been forgiven, you know what forgiveness looks like. Ephesians 4 said we're to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We know, and listen, if you're saved, you know what forgiveness looks like. Well, I don't know. You're saved, ain't you? What did the Lord do for you? Jesus spake to Simon the Pharisee. He said, he gave him the story of two men who had a debt. And he said, which one of those guys do you think loved the master much? He said, oh, that's easy, the one he forgave. the one he forgave the most to would love him more. Wonder what God forgave you of.
Amen.
Wonder how many times you said things you shouldn't have said, and God heard it, and God knew it, and God forgave you of it and let it go. I wonder how many times you done something you shouldn't have done. God saw it and God knew it. You come back and you found God. God in Jesus Christ was so ready and quick to forgive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what it is in salvation. You know what it is from your day-to-day life. You know what forgiveness is if you're a child of God.
Amen.
You know what Jesus is saying? It's all through the Scripture. Do to others what God has done for you. Amen. So, preacher, that means you can add any asterisk on the end of this message as you want. Amen. You can run me down. You can talk about me. You can do all you want to do. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord's got me honed in. Lord got me honed in on y'all this morning. He got me honed in on me this morning.
Amen.
We've got to learn how to extend what has been extended to us. Ivor Powell in his book on Mark, his commentary on Mark, coming through this section, he said, Brother Charlie, he said, and I may be in paraphrasing, but I'll get it out maybe enough. Here, remember, we're talking about prayer. And Ivor Powell said, it is a shame for those who had come before the mercy seat but would not extend mercy to others.
Amen.
You can talk about your prayer life and how dedicated you are to prayer, how many hours a week you spend going to the mercy seat. But those who truly, I'm talking about truly and not just in religiosity and for name's sake, are spending time at the mercy seat, they know how to give mercy. Whoa, hallelujah. Well, it gets worse. I'm almost done and it keeps getting worse, Brother Tim. Say, preacher, you done took the vice out and you've ratcheted it down and I can barely turn it. Can I try to turn it just a little bit more? I promise I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to preach the book. I want to use a word. It's not a word we would use often when I outline, and y'all know the way most of the time I do alliteration. I come across this word and it really does fit. Really, really fits, to be honest with you. It's what we call the pre-option of these offenses. The word pre-option just means that up front, you're given the choices that you can pick from. Is that not what Jesus does in this text? He said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Then he makes two pre-options. They're made to you and I this morning. Christ made them 2,000 years ago. And they're as relative and real today as they've ever been to you and I. And that is, you can forgive and be forgiven. He said, but if you don't forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. The choice is yours. The pre-option in the offense is simply this. There is a choice to make about what we do with these offenses. You got a choice. I tell you, every time I see her, every time I see him, every time I come across them, Jesus said, I ain't worried about them. That's the issue the flesh takes with messages like this, because it wants to justify everything to focus on the other party. Jesus said, I ain't worried about them right now. I'm worried about your spiritual journey. Have faith in God, amen, that you can release some offenses that are driving you out of your mind. Amen. We get to choose, we get to make the choice. There's a choice to make about what we do with these offenses. Forgive or don't forgive. When everybody look this way, we don't get to choose the consequences. There's been a lot of resting with what Jesus is teaching here about forgive and you'll be forgiven. Forgive not and your Father which is in heaven is not going to forgive your trespasses. I think it goes in our doctrinal understanding of the Word of God. He is not talking about eternal salvation. He's not talking about that salvation and forgiveness of sin and salvation hinges on me forgiving or not forgiving other people. If you're saved, if you're a disciple, that's who he's talking to. This is not sinners. He's not telling them, if you'll just forgive everybody else, I'll receive you into the family of God. It is not about eternal life. It is about your relationship to God as your heavenly Father. Again, the prayer and the model prayer is forgive us our debts as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. It's the last time you prayed that. I wonder what God would have to say to us if we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. But I ain't forgiving them. Y'all hear that? Y'all know what that is? The sound of silence and conviction. You got a choice to make. But you don't get to choose the consequences. Forgive, and it'll be forgiven you. I thought, Brother Tim, Brother A.L., I thought about coming through this study. Everybody okay? I got one more quarter turn and we're done. Everybody, can you handle it? If you can't handle it, just come get on the altar and you can talk with the Lord and ignore me. But I got to give it one more quarter turn. But Larry, in Matthew 18, Jesus gives a parable of a man who is indebted to his master. It's a big debt. He owes a lot. Priscilla, he's in bad shape. It's got too big and he cannot pay it off. So he comes to the master and he casts himself down at the master's feet and he begs for mercy. He desires simply that the master would be gracious to him. Somehow, give me more time. He don't even know what all it's going to look like. Only to have the master say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm clearing the record books. I'm not just going to extend the payment. I'm not just going to extend the terms of our agreement. I'm just going to wipe it all out. This man is free. Amen. He gets up. He shouts. He hugs his master. He walks back out. He don't make it far down the road. You read all this in Matthew 18. Comes up on somebody that owes him something now. He grabs him by the coat and he shakes him. He gets in his face and he said, give me what you owe me. And it ain't even a thimbleful of what he's just been cleared of with his own master. The guy says, sorry, I'm up on hard times. Can we change the terms of the agreement? Can you give me a few grace days, a grace period. Let me try to figure something out. He says, I'll not forgive it. You owe it to me. I want it now. Guy said, I can't pay. Begins to beat him and threaten to have him delivered to the tormentors. The man's master, the first man's master, hears of what is going on. Comes to him in rebuke, says, I'm paraphrasing. He says, how dare you?
How dare you? I forgave you all of this because you desired me. And now there's one that is indebted to you and you won't forgive it? Are y'all ready for this? I don't know if this may be a whole nother turn of the vice. I think I found a little more strength. Will y'all look in Matthew 18? I've got to show y'all something. Dear Lord, I've got to show you something. Matthew 18, I've heard that story preached. I've preached it. I wasn't going to have you turn, but you've got to see this and I'm done. Holy smokes, it's after 12 o'clock. Matthew 18, verse 34. Look in verse 32. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him. This is what Jesus thinks about this ought-holding business. O thou wicked servant. It's pretty strong, ain't it? See, we call the bar hoppers the wicked crowd. We call the pill heads and the dope pushers and the transgenders, we look at them as the wicked people. The Lord said, if you're one of my servants and you won't forgive after you've been forgiven, you're a wicked servant. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Should not thou also have had compassion? There's the problem. It's a love problem. On thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. Here it is, don't miss it. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. I can't prove this dogmatically, but it reasons out in the English language, and it reasons out with the nature of what is being taught. The Master is our Savior. When he forgives you a debt, you're forgiven. Right? So, whose debt is this man paying in the prison house? He's having to pay the debt that he was holding against somebody else. See, you think your little unforgiveness and your ought and your burr in your rear end is just, it's just a little thing. Here's what happens. Here's what happens. If you don't forgive it, the Lord lets you be the one who's tormented. And you're trying to grudge hold and make statements through eye rolls and protests and bypass. Do everything you can to make sure you get a little dig every chance you can. Thinking you're tormenting the person who owes you. The fact is, you have lost your liberty. And you have lost your freedom, and God holds against you the very debt you're holding against others. Say, prove it, preacher. Where is some of y'all's freedom to worship today? I'm serious. As your pastor who loves you with all my heart, as your friend, I don't know of anybody in this place today that I would not say they are my friend. Why you look so miserable?
Right.
See what happens when we get the ought. It begins to torment us, torment our mind, torment our heart, torment our spiritual life, rob us of our liberty and freedom to worship God. Robs us of our peace of mind when we walk in and we have to see that person.
Right.
Then you get in, because if you're really saved,
there's guilt and there's conviction and conscience about all the things you've done or said and injuries and mischievousness and destruction that goes on behind the scenes where there's an ought. And you're not even able to have any peace in the presence. Listen, you allow your peace to be dictated on who or who is not in the room with you. And that's a shame. That is a shame. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, you say, preacher, and I know I preached hard. Lord, I didn't mean to preach this hard, but it come out, didn't it? Pretty good, ain't it? Son, in a few weeks. Oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty right. Pretty challenging. I understand these other sides of the coin this morning. Amen. I understand. These other things we could sit down and talk about, put asterisks all over this. Oh, are y'all ready for this? All over this awesome message today. You can asterisk it up, water it down, and take the sting out of it. Or you can sit here this morning for just a minute and say, Lord, truth be told, there's not a one of us in this building that need this today. Because we're all dealing with it. I just wonder if we're dealing with it or it's dealing with us. Preacher, how do I do it? Have faith in God. It's going to be okay. Amen. It's going to be all right. Amen. And there are so many, listen, there are so many that are dying in their spiritual journey. They're dying in their church life. And I know what I'm talking about. It comes down to what's been preached today. Preacher, it's so-and-so's fault. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. You can't do nothing to change what they done to you or didn't do for you or whatever. Can't change it. What you gonna do with it? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So what are you doing, Pastor? Trying to see if I want to give an invitation, if I just want to send you out all battered and cut up and bleeding. Anybody need to pray today? Amen. Let's stand together. Come on, sister. Y'all been good to preach to. Thank you. I know it's been tough. Man, what a truth. I ain't ever seen it. Patrick, I've never seen the phrase, have faith in God, so connected. Westcott and Hort, they're a bunch of devils. You know what they said? Brother Tim, you wasn't here last week. You know what Westcott and Hort said? They said verse 25 and 26 of that text, it don't even belong in that passage. That's what Westcott and Hort said. I beg to differ. I beg to differ today. Jesus said it all in context. Spirit of God's put it all in there to remind us, hey, some things you'll only get over by having faith in God. Amen. All right. Lord, we love you. Thank you. Lord, it's been strong today. Gun barrel straight, the old timers would say. Lord, we all deal with these things. Lord, we hate to admit it. Sometimes these things come through us. So, Lord, whatever side of the coin we're in or on today, would you please help us? Give us, Lord, help as we put our faith in God to cut some people loose from things we've been holding against them. Lord, I understand, Lord, that Lord, there's lines and there's things that can be crossed. And, Lord, Lord, I understand, Lord, there are dangers, and Lord, there's ways, Lord, they just some things, Lord, people wait too late to get right on their end. Lord, didn't show it this morning, but you said in that last verse, Matthew 18, that was to forgive in our heart. So, Lord, where there may not be certain things, Lord, I pray at least in our heart be an attitude of forgiveness, a tenderness, Lord, to situations and relationships. Help us, oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. Some have come to pray this morning. Know what you need today. Have faith in God.